Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, June 21st, Pope Francis travels to Naples to deliver a lecture at a theological conference. Demonstrators surround police headquarters in Hong Kong as citizens continue to protest a proposed extradition bill. And tensions between the United States and Iran continue to rise. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today, Pope Francis launched a strong appeal for a theology of welcome based on dialogue and proclamation that contributes to building a fraternal society among the peoples of the Mediterranean. He made the call during a speech which concluded a two-day conference in Naples on the theme Theology After Veritatis Gaudium in the context of the Mediterranean. With that apostolic constitution, the Pope provided for a renewal of theological studies in the context of a church that goes forth. Lydia O'Kane tells us more.
Pope Francis began his reflection by recalling that the Mediterranean has always been a place of transit, exchange, and sometimes even conflict.
Il Mediterraneo è da sempre luogo di transiti, di scambi, di talvolta anche di conflitti.
He went on to say that even today, it is a place that poses a series of questions, often dramatic. To face them, he described how we need a theology of welcome, aimed at developing an authentic and sincere dialogue for the construction of peace in an inclusive and fraternal society and for the protection of creation.
Prima di tutto, una teologia dell'accoglienza e del dialogo.
The Pope indicated two elements, kerygma, that is the proclamation of Christ who has died and risen, and dialogue as criteria for renewing studies for a church that puts evangelization at its centre. Dialogue is above all a method of discernment, he says, and of proclamation capable of relating to every human situation. It requires docility to the spirit, that is, a style of life and proclamation without a spirit of conquest, without a desire for proselytism, and without an aggressive intent to refute. This dialogue was established by encouraging courses in Arabic and Hebrew language and culture in the theological faculties to foster relations with Judaism and Islam in order to understand common roots and differences. With Muslims, he said, we are called to dialogue to build a future of our societies and our cities, to consider them partners to build a peaceful coexistence, even when there are shocking episodes by fanatical groups that are enemies of dialogue, such as the tragedy of last Easter in Sri Lanka. With Jews, he said, we are called to live our relationship better on the religious level. The Mediterranean, the Pope observed, is a bridge between Europe, Africa and Asia, a space in which to build a great tent of peace.
Una grande tenda di pace.
Where the different children of the common father Abraham can live together. During his speech, the Pope launched an appeal to theologians. In this continuous journey of going out of oneself and meeting with the other, he said, it is important that theologians be men and women of compassion, touched by the oppressed life of many, by the slavery of today, by social wounds, by violence, by wars, and by the enormous injustices suffered by so many poor people who live on the shores of this common sea. Without communion and without compassion, constantly nourished by prayer, theology not only loses its soul, but loses its intelligence and ability to interpret reality in a Christian way, he said. The task of theology, Pope Francis explained, is to tune in to the risen Jesus and reach the peripheries, even those of thought. In this sense, theologians must encourage an encounter of cultures with the sources of revelation and tradition. But the Pope warned that although the great theological syntheses of the past are mines of theological wisdom, they cannot be applied mechanically to current issues. It is a matter of treasuring them to seek new ways, he said. The pontiff emphasized that it was necessary to start again from a gospel of mercy, because theology is born in the midst of concrete human beings met with the gaze of God, who goes in search of them with love. Theology, he underlined, should be the expression of a church that is a field hospital that lives its mission of salvation and healing in the world. In conclusion, he said theology, after Veritatis Gaudium, is therefore a dialogue with cultures and religions for the construction of the peaceful coexistence of individuals and peoples. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
During his time in Naples, his brief time in Naples, the Holy Father also blessed a dedicatory plaque of the Library of the San Luigi Faculty of the Pontifical Theological Faculty of Southern Italy. In the library, which is now named for him, the Pope Francis Library, he also blessed a bell commemorating the convention, which will be placed in the Great Hall of the Faculty, as well as a roll-up of vignettes on St. Francis of Assisi designed for the catechesis and pastoral purposes, especially with regard to children. Finally, he also blessed a plaster sketch of a detail of the work Christ Unveiled by the Neapolitan master Giuseppe Corcione and a ceramic painting depicting Saint Vincenzo Romano. Following the visit to Naples, the ad interim director of the Holy See Press Office said that the Holy Father, Pope Francis, was happy to be able to participate in the conference on theology after Veritatis Gaudium in the context of the Mediterranean. At the end of the conference, he said, which was the purpose of the Holy Father's visit to Naples, Pope Francis did not stay for lunch but returned immediately to Rome. And now in world news, thousands of protesters surrounded police headquarters in Hong Kong on Friday as demonstrations against the so-called extradition bill appear to be escalating. Sean Patrick Lovett has this report.
The one country, two systems principle between Hong Kong and mainland China has been effective since 1997. In general, the system has worked, allowing freedoms and lifestyles in Hong Kong that are not seen in China. But a proposed bill that would facilitate the extradition of anyone suspected of criminal wrongdoing from Hong Kong to the mainland has recently been seen as challenging both the system and the freedoms, and possibly even undermining Hong Kong's independence. Despite the bill being suspended, protests have continued to mount in Hong Kong, mostly demanding that the bill get scrapped entirely. On Friday, thousands of protesters surrounded police headquarters, despite severe warnings from local authorities. Protesters are also demanding that police drop charges against people who have been arrested during previous protests. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
Elsewhere, United States President Donald Trump has confirmed reports that he ordered an attack on Iran on Thursday night, but called the operation off at the last moment. Nathan Morley has the latest.
It's now known that President Donald Trump gave the green light for military strikes against Iran on Thursday, but then pulled back from launching them. In a tweet, Mr. Trump said he called off the strikes when he was informed 150 people would die. It was reported that Trump initially had authorized attacks on several Iranian targets, such as radar and missile batteries. Eric Schmidt of the New York Times was one of the first reporters to break the story overnight.
The president had approved a series of small strikes against targets in Iran in retaliation for the shootdown of the Global Hawk reconnaissance aircraft earlier. Planes were in the air, ships were in position to fire missiles, and then suddenly it was off. The president had decided to stand down, and we're not exactly sure why.
For his part, President Trump said the U.S. military was cocked and loaded to retaliate against Iran, but he changed his mind before the planned strike. Here's Eric Schmidt again.
Well, there had been many deliberations. A spirited debate had ensued in the hours before among his national security team, with people like John Bolton, his national security advisor, and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo urging for some kind of response. Pentagon officials, however, were much warier, worried about the blowback from any kind of strikes and what it might mean in terms of escalating and the threat to American forces in the region. The president weighed these options, however, apparently authorized a limited strike against things like radars and missile batteries, the kind of things that had fired the weapon, the missile, at the reconnaissance plane in the first place.
In Tehran, the foreign ministry spokesman Abbas Mousavi said that provocative, unthought-out acts would require a reciprocal response.
The Islamic Republic of Iran strongly condemns the provocative nature and the violent forces against the Republic. and has expressed strong protests about this incident. In addition, we have protested against this provocative and aggressive act through the diplomatic, legal, and political channels of the United Nations.
Tensions have been escalating between the two countries, with the US recently blaming Iran for attacks on oil tankers which were operating in the region. Iran has announced it will soon exceed international agreed limits on its nuclear program. Last year, the United States unilaterally pulled out of a 2015 nuclear deal which was aimed at curbing Iran's nuclear activities. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
And finally, a summit of 28 European Union leaders has failed to reach an agreement amid behind-the-scenes tensions over who should take on the bloc's top jobs. As regional correspondent Stefan Boss reports, the president of the European Commission has already warned that it will be a difficult task.
The president of the EU's executive European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, says he will have to wait at least one more week before he finds out about his successor. He tried to sound confident that government leaders can find an agreement on candidates for Europe's top job by the end of the month. But speaking through an interpreter, Juncker also acknowledged that it will not be an easy task.
Et pour le reste, je n'ai rien à ajouter.
I noted with some pleasure, satisfaction, amusement, happiness even, that it appears I'm not that easy to replace. I remain of the view that the Spitzenkandidaten process has not reached its term yet.
His job was among several positions that were discussed in Brussels. After hours of tense talks that lasted until the early hours of Friday morning, no candidates were being finalized, admitted European Council President Donald Tusk.
The European Council had a full discussion of nominations, taking into account my consultations and statements made within the European Parliament. There was no majority on any candidate. The European Council agreed that there needs to be a package reflecting the diversity of the EU. We'll meet again on the 30th of June.
The new summit will come just 2 days before a crucial meeting of the European Parliament. European legislators say the president should come from the party with the most seats, which would mean Manfred Weber, a German in the centre-right European People's Party. But strong potential rivals to Weber include EU veteran Frans Timmermans, a Dutchman from the centre-left socialist bloc, and Danish EU Commissioner Margrethe Vestager, a liberal. However, French President Emmanuel Macron is reported to favour Michel Barnier, the man who has been in charge of negotiating Britain's exit from the EU for the post. Besides trying to find majorities for successors, leaders were also trying to decide on what the European Union should focus over the next 5 years, ranging from issues such as migration to the environment. For Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to our team in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.